Thank you for joining me today as we begin a brand new week together. I hope you had a good weekend, a weekend that may already seem like a distant memory. But what follows will definitely be of encouragement to you, especially if you'll be here every day this week. Our text is Matthew chapter 26, and we come to this portion of God's holy word because we want to prepare our minds, our hearts, that place where our affections live, and our emotions for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we solemnly, and in the resurrection, joyfully remember on Resurrection Day weekend. That's still 5 weeks away, but we want to come to it prepared. We want to be ready. Furthermore, we are in Matthew 26, and eventually from here to chapters 27 and 28 as well, because we want to know how God sends his son Jesus Christ into the world on the mission of redeeming people from the bonds and curse of sin. And to do this, Jesus Christ is humiliated. Recently in Revelation 1, we saw the exalted Christ. Here now in Matthew chapter 26, we meet the humiliated Christ. And Jesus, as always, tells us who God is. God is the one who is exalted and yet is willing to have his only son humiliated for the sake of our souls. Oh, in the words of the hymn we love to sing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Thank God that he was willing for Jesus to be man, such that he met with humiliation in securing my salvation from sin and rescuing me from Hades and hell. How about you? Has he done the same for you? Then will you rejoice with me? How marvelous, how wonderful, and our song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is our Savior's love for us, his love for you and me. Last week, we got through the first 5 verses of Matthew chapter 26, having met Caiaphas, the Christ killer. Today, we meet someone else. So let me read to you now Matthew 26, verses 6 through 13. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verses 6 down through verse 13. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this and said, "Why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed to me. For you always will have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her." This is quite the scene, and there are a number of real characters in this true story. We have Simon the leper. He's the host of this party. Then there is this woman. Matthew does not tell us her name. And she pours costly perfume over Jesus. And so, of course, Jesus is there. And that means along with him are the disciples. And the place, the location, is a village called Bethany. Now, here's what I'm going to do, and that is to pick up this same scene over in John's Gospel. I've read from Matthew, and now I want to read from John. So if you're following along in your Bible, turn all the way over to John chapter 12. That's John chapter 12. This event in the life of Jesus is also written about by Mark, and I'll quote Mark soon. But the reason I'm reading from John 12 is because John fills in some details that Matthew has left out, such as the name of the woman who worships Jesus by breaking this alabaster vial of very costly perfume. Her name is Mary. And listen to how John describes what goes on around this dinner table. This is really very fascinating. I'm reading now John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. This is John 12, verse 1. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with Jesus. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray Jesus, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people?" Now, he had said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. As he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Therefore, Jesus said, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." That's John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. As you can likely tell just from my reading, these two texts go together. And again, Mark will add something further as well. And what we're going to do this week is to put all of the beauty of this scene into one painting and talk about this woman's act of love for her Savior. That is, I invite you to focus with me on Mary. Verse 3 of John 12, "Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of their perfume." Mary. So the woman in Matthew 26 is Mary. It's crucial that we know her name. I'd love for you to circle her name in your Bible at John 12 when you have an opportunity to do so. I'm going to say much about her and in relation to her some of the other people in this story throughout the days ahead. To begin with, I want to make certain you know which Mary this is. Anytime we talk about Mary in the New Testament, we have to clarify which Mary we're talking about. For example, this Mary is the sister of Martha and Lazarus. This is not Mary, the mother of Jesus. And this is not Mary Magdalene, the woman who was demon-possessed until Jesus delivered her by casting out the demons. Mary Magdalene is also the first person to see the risen Christ when he appeared to her after his resurrection, later on in the Gospel accounts. Nor is this Mary the mother of James the Younger and Joseph and the wife of Clopas. Mary was a very popular name in Bible times, and so much like with the names that are popular today, we have to pause and ask, which Mary is this? And again, she is Mary of Bethany, and famously the sister of Martha and Lazarus, and a great friend to Jesus. Their family is prominent in John 12, as we shall see. Here now, we will take the John 12 text as our main Bible passage when discussing Mary. Of course, I will refer back to Matthew 26, but for a little while, we depart Matthew for John, okay? Good. So now that we know where we're going, and that we're going to be in John 12, we have correctly identified this Mary as Mary from Bethany, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Let's do a little work on setting the scene, and that means understanding the context, a favorite pursuit of mine in Bible study. John 12, verse 1 opens, "Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead." This sentence is principal to understanding what follows, because the sentence links John chapter 11. Without exaggeration, a monumental chapter in the entire Word of God, to our chapter 12. For example, notice this is 6 days before the Passover. So this is Saturday night as the Jewish Sabbath comes to an end. And that is 6 days before Friday, the day in which Jesus will die on the cross. The timing here is important. And look who else is at Bethany where they gather. It is Lazarus. And John tells us here directly, "Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead." Do not gloss over this. In this scene at Bethany, living and breathing is a man who was once dead. In fact, John 11 tells us Lazarus had been deceased for 4 days. This man is dead and long buried. But John 11, verses 43 to 44 reads as follows, "Jesus cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" That's John 11. And when we come to John 12, this resurrected dead man Lazarus is reclining at the table with Jesus in Lazarus' home village of Bethany. This is why we must understand the context so that we can bridge chapters 11 and 12 of John to one another. And still building the context for you, you can also circle Bethany in your Bible. In case you did not know this, that's a very special place for our Lord. You can locate Bethany on a map of Israel today. It's on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, which is just 2 miles east of the city of Jerusalem. In the Gospels, we read of Jesus continually visiting there and finding respite with his friends Martha, Mary, and Lazarus where they live. Just so you get a feel for how close Bethany is to Jerusalem, such that Jesus could spend his day in Jerusalem, but then retreat to Bethany overnight, listen to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 1, 11, and 12. This is Mark 11. As they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples. And then verses 11 and 12 of Mark 11. Jesus entered Jerusalem and came into the temple. And after looking around at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late, on the next day when they had left Bethany. As Mark says, Jesus regularly commuted between Jerusalem and Bethany. And there he finds food and fellowship and much needed rest in the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, the brother and his two sisters. Pastor and Bible commentator Arthur W. Pink writes, "What makes Bethany so attractive is that Jesus seemed to find in the little company there a resting place in his toilsome path. Bethany was one oasis in the desert, one little spot where Jesus could retire from the hatred and antagonism of his enemies. There was one sheltered nook where he could find those who were truly attracted to him." I love that. The importance of Bethany for Jesus Christ. Well, we're off to a good start in John 12. We've talked about the setting and we've met Mary. So be sure and come back tomorrow. And why don't you invite a friend to join you for more of God Is.